Book of 2 John. Going to be looking at verse number 3. 2 John, then verse number 3. There's only one chapter in the book, so it's just verse number 3. Been looking at this book, and it's similar to 1 John. We spent several weeks in 1 John. Then we made our way to 2 John, and same theme of the book, just about. John is writing to the elect lady that he says in verse number 1, and it's not only the elect lady, it's her children. And so this lady is saved, and her children are saved, and they are serving the Lord. And he writes to them, and apparently John has spent some time with this lady. I think that he probably stayed at her house and taught her and taught her kids and her children, and they possibly could have been converts of John, but he is writing to her, and he might be staying at her house right now while he's writing this letter to her. I don't really know, but I know that he knows her and that she is saved, and so are her children. We're going to look at verse number 3, and John says, "Grace be with you." And I want to speak tonight on the subject of grace and how that grace makes the difference. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon us. We thank you, God, that you've been kind and good and gracious to us. Lord, we thank you for the provisions that you've given to us this last week. You've laid another week before us. You've allowed us to gather together this evening as like-minded believers and open up your word and sing songs about you. And we've already received a blessing from the songs and from the fellowship and just from being together. We pray, Lord, and I pray and ask you that you would help me to say things that are needful and necessary. We are at your mercy tonight, and we ask you to feed us tonight from your word and help us, Lord. I pray that we'd walk away from here, Lord, with our eyes focused on you and looking at you and seeing that you are a great and gracious and wonderful Heavenly Father. And we can trust you and we can rely upon you and we can go to you at any time, any place, and that you will listen and you will hear and you will help us and just take care of us as you always have. Lord, we love you and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 John, we'll go ahead and read the entire chapter. "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in the truth, as we have received commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I had wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. And his commandment, that is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus is the Christ, come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen." I want to speak to you tonight on how that grace makes the difference. It makes the difference in the lives of all believers. It made a difference in the life of the Apostle Paul. It made the difference in the life of the Apostle John. And it made a difference in the lives of this lady and her children. It was grace that made the difference. And grace is what makes the difference in the lives of all Christians. It will be grace that makes the difference. I'd like to direct your attention to the story about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, I believe it was in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, that he had a physical ailment and problems all of his life with some kind of physical ailment. It could have been with his eyes, his eyesight, or something like that, but he had a problem that was a physical thing that he had to deal with. And he went to the Lord and he asked the Lord three times, "Look, Lord, would you take away this sickness and this ailment that I am dealing with, because this is a thorn in the flesh. It is really something that is hindering me from doing the work of the Lord and living my life the way that I want to live." I don't know if anybody here, I'm sure some of you here have probably had to be hindered by something in your physical body. I know that some of you have. But Paul the Apostle, he says, "I spoke to the Lord three times about this, and I wanted God to do something about this thorn in the flesh that I have, this problem." I asked him, and the Lord gave me an answer, and that answer was no. No, I'm not going to take away that physical ailment that you have, but what I am going to do is I'm going to give you some grace to go through that problem that you have. He says, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." The strength of God, I believe, is the grace of God. The grace that God gave Paul to go through the physical ailment that he had and go ahead and live his life even with this hindrance in his life. And it was the grace of God that made the difference in the life of Paul. And I would say the same thing for you and I here this evening, that it is grace that makes the difference in our lives. You and I can accomplish nothing, absolutely nothing, apart from the grace of God. And here is John the Apostle, and he's giving a biblical greeting. He's given a biblical salutation to this lady and her children. It's a customary way that the biblical writers would write to people. And they would tell them, they would greet them in this way, "Grace, mercy, and peace to you." And he speaks to this lady and he says, "Grace, mercy, and peace to you." Now, this salutation is not a prayer. I want you to know that. I want you to know that it is a declaration to this lady and her children because of who they are in Christ. John the Apostle is saying these things to this lady and to her children because they are Christians, because they are saved, because they have received the truth and they have been born again. And he says, "Grace, mercy, and peace to you," because he says, "from the Lord Jesus Christ." That's who it's from. From God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. And he says, "Grace, mercy, and peace." Grace finds its origin in God the Father. That's where it comes from. And then it goes through the Son. It goes through Jesus Christ. That's the way that it works. We serve a triune God. We serve a God that is a Trinity. And so everything originates from the Father, goes through the Son. And so everything that we have, everything that we benefit from as Christians and even as non-Christians, comes through the Son. All of creation comes through the Son. Salvation comes through the Son. Life comes through the Son. Everything comes through the Son, but it originated from the Father. So Jesus Christ is the middleman. Jesus Christ is the mediator. And when John says, "from the Father and then the Lord Jesus Christ," he's telling us that Jesus Christ is the one who bridges the gap between God and man. And we get that grace from God the Father. Grace makes the difference in everything in the Christian life. And there's a lot of important things in Christianity. I mean, we have the doctrine of eternal security. We have the doctrine of the deity of Jesus Christ. We have the doctrine of the virgin birth that we spoke about this morning. We have the doctrine of the inspiration of scriptures. We have all of these great doctrines that we rest upon. We rest upon the Bible. We rest upon the fact that Jesus rose again, the resurrection. But all of those things are predicated and they stand upon the grace of God. Because if you and I did not have the grace of God, we would not have a Bible. We would not have salvation. We would not have a Savior. We would not even have creation. We would not have life. Everything is based and is founded upon the grace of God. And that's why John says, first, grace. Grace to you. Because grace is foundational. Grace is first. And so you and I need to understand that grace for salvation is only found in Christ. And grace makes the difference. Now I want to give you three areas where grace makes the difference. We find them right here in this chapter. The first one is this. Grace makes the difference in truth and love. It is grace that makes the difference. John, in the first two verses of this chapter, has already mentioned how he loves this lady in the truth. And also all they that have known the truth, and for the truth's sake. He speaks about love and truth over and over and over. And truth and love ought to dominate and ought to be important to Christians. We are of the truth. We came from a God who declares that He is the truth. We believe a book that says that it is the truth. And so therefore it must be important. We are begotten by the truth. We are saved because of love. We are saved because God loves us. And so therefore those things are very, very important. God gives us truth in His love by His grace. And John loved this lady in the truth and also all they that had known the truth. And it was a love that was in Christ. And so the truth is known by all who have been recipients of this grace. Because the grace of God brings truth. The grace of God brings love in the lives of believers. And truth is dwelling in these recipients right here. These recipients, these people that we have been speaking about for the last few weeks are the recipients of love and grace. They have this. And it didn't just pop into their mind one day, oh, I've got truth. It didn't just pop into their heart one day, oh, I love the Lord. I now love my neighbor. I now love this lady. I now love fellow Christians. No, it did not happen that way. They did not have the indwelling truth that abides in them forever accidentally. Right. The grace of God was there coupled with that truth and with that love. It was the grace of God that made the difference in the minds and the hearts of these believers. Grace makes the difference. But what happens when the grace of God is rejected? What happens whenever a people or a nation or someone decides that they're not going to accept God and they turn away from God and the grace of God escapes them and leaves them and it's not there anymore? You know what happens? Hatred fills their heart. Lies fill their heart. There is a vacuum that comes into their lives, and lies and hatred flourish in their lives. Why? Because grace makes the difference in truth and love. When Paul the Apostle wrote to the Romans, and we've been over this and over this, but Romans chapter number 1, verses 28 to 31, Paul tells us, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them up to a reprobate mind. What happened? Well, I'll just take my hand of grace off of you. If you want to live ungodly, if you want to reject me, if you want to reject my gospel, then I will take my hand off of you and I will let you have your own way and we'll see how that works out for you. Do you know what happens when people don't have the grace of God in their lives? We read about it. To do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, uncleanness, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, That kind of stuff comes into their lives. They start to hate their neighbor. They start to backbite their neighbor. They start to covet what their neighbor wants and what their neighbor has. Why? Hand of God has been removed. Whenever you're reading Romans chapter number 1, it starts out. Paul starts out his argument like this. The wrath of God has been revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Do you know how that wrath of God is revealed to men who reject His Son? He doesn't have to rain down fire and brimstone from heaven. He doesn't have to send a tornado. Amen. He doesn't have to send a tsunami. Yeah. He just lets you have your own way.
Amen.
Right. And okay, go ahead. And you know what we start to do? Hatred fills our heart. Uncleanness fills our heart. And we begin to hate God, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Why? Because God is not there with His grace. Grace makes the difference in love and truth, and they start to believe a lie. Again, in the book of 2 Thessalonians, Paul writes to them, and he says that they rejected the Son of God. They rejected His truth. They received not the love of the truth in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. They received not the love of the truth. Therefore, God said, okay, I will let you have your own way. I will give you what you want. I will let you have your own way. And it says, and for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. He lets them have their own way.
Amen.
What happens whenever someone rejects the truth? What happens when someone rejects the light that God has given to them? And the grace leaves, delusion sets in. Lies set in. And they go right on their happy way, right on their merry way, thinking that everything is okay and they're going to be all right. But no, they are believing a lie. They have rejected the grace of God. That's what happens. Strong delusion. God, what does He do? Starts restraining sin. Let's man have their own way. And then hatred sets in. The removal of the grace of God is the wrath and the judgment of God upon sin. The grace makes the difference in truth and love. Aren't you glad and aren't you thankful that God has been gracious to you? That you love God and you haven't rejected Him? And you haven't rejected His Word? Thank God for His grace. I tell you here this evening, He didn't have to. He didn't have to give you His grace. He didn't have to let you, but grace makes the difference. Grace makes the difference in truth and love. But I'll say again this evening that grace makes the difference in salvation. Grace makes the difference in salvation. He says in verse number 3, he says, grace, mercy, and peace. If you'll know that the first divine attribute that John mentions in his salutation to these believers is what? Grace. It is grace. Why? Because grace is the first principle in salvation. Grace comes first. Grace, mercy, and peace. He says grace first. What does God do? God gives you something that you don't deserve. That's what grace is. None of us deserve salvation. None of us deserve it. But the first thing that comes is grace. What does He do? Well, He gives you imputed righteousness. A righteousness that is not your own. God gives you regeneration. He makes you alive unto God. He makes you alive to the Bible and all of these things. But He regenerates us and He gives us a new life. He gives us a new nature. And then what happens? Mercy. Mercy comes next. He doesn't give you what you do deserve. That's on the negative side. Now, before you were saved, you were under the wrath of God. The wrath of God was abiding on you, but once you're saved, mercy comes in. The wrath of God is taken away.
Amen.
And then you know what happens? Peace. Grace, mercy, and peace. There's no more enmity between you and God. There is no more anxiety in your heart about God. You're at peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We receive peace. And all of those things, mercy and peace, they're all predicated and they're all founded. The base of those things is grace. Grace must come first, because without grace, there is no salvation. There is no mercy and there is no peace. Grace must come first. Grace makes the difference. Grace saves undeserving sinners. Salvation is all of grace. And when we say that salvation is of grace, we say that grace is the root of salvation. It is the base of salvation. It is completed and will be completed by grace. You're going to get to heaven one of these days. One of these days you're going to hear a trumpet, and Jesus Christ is going to come back, and you're going to get that glorified body one of these days. You know how that's all going to happen? Grace. Grace. It's going to go out. You know, God's grace goes on out into eternity.
Right.
One of these days, you and I are going to be praising Jesus Christ and God the Father into eternity, because we are still saved. We are still redeemed. Grace carries it all out, from justification to glorification. Grace makes the difference. Paul tells us about salvation in Ephesians chapter number 2. And he really tries to drive home this point about how salvation is by grace. Now, most of you could probably quote the verses, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Did you know that Paul spends a lot of time in that chapter showing you that it's not of works? I don't know if you've ever noticed this before. Start at verse number 1 of Ephesians chapter number 2. Not right now. You can if you want to, I guess, but I'd rather you pay attention. Start at verse number 1. You know what the first problem is with people and why we are saved and why it has to be grace? Because we are dead in trespasses and in sins. We have to have God come and step in and do something. And then next we find out that God in His mercy, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, came and saved us. It's not of works. It's abundantly clear from Paul's writings that we were not following God. That we were bound in chains of sin. That Satan was the one who was ruling over us. We were the children of disobedience, he said. And our nature was leading us away from God. He gives us a very strong argument in Ephesians chapter number 2. Verse number 6 of Ephesians 2 tells us that he raised us up and seated us together in heavenly places. By grace ye are saved. Do you realize this evening that God considers you already seated together with Him? That's how secure your salvation is. God says, hey, you're already there with my Son. You are one with my Son. And all throughout this chapter, Paul does not one time point the finger back at you and say, yeah, you did something. It was because of you. No, it was because of the grace of God in salvation that you and I are saved. I would say to you tonight that grace makes the difference in salvation. It is all of grace. That's how powerful and how wonderful that the grace of God is in the matter of salvation. Grace makes the difference. Grace makes the difference in truth and love. Grace makes the difference in salvation. But grace makes the difference in victory.
Yes, sir.
The grace of God makes the difference in victory. Here's John the Apostle, and he's writing to the elect lady and her children. And he says, man, I am so happy. I am so joyful that your children are still walking in the truth. I am so joyful. Apparently, as I said before, John must have stayed with them. John must have stayed with them for some amount of time, and he taught them some things. Could have been one of his converts as well as her children. He's writing to her. I bet he was thinking, you know, I taught them some things. I taught them about Jesus Christ and how Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh, and He is the Son of God. Spent a lot of time with them. Probably saw them get saved. He saw them grow. He saw them starting to do right. He saw them starting to grow in the Lord. And John sees this, and man, he's so joyful. He says, man, I hear about your kids now. And he says, they're still growing in the truth. They're still walking in the truth. They're still doing what is right in the truth. Well, there's some victory there.
Yes.
You know, it's a great thing. It's a happy thing to see somebody get saved and grow and do right.
Amen.
Accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And then you check on them years on down the road. Well, they're still doing right. They still believe. They're still walking in the truth. They're still doing what's right. There's a victory there. They're fighting against the devil and the flesh and all of these things. No, they're not perfect, but yes, they're still doing right. Well, it's a wonderful thing. Every time that you see victory happen in the Christian life, you know what it's coupled with? The grace of God. The grace of God makes the difference. They're still believing in Christ. As a matter of fact, that was the theme, one of the themes of the book of 1 John. Some of them believed, then they left the church. And now they no longer believe. They went out from us, but they were not of us. And John writes to this lady and he says, they're still doing right. Still walking in the truth. And he's joyful about that. That brings great joy to Christians. You know why? Because you can see the grace of God at work in people's lives. You can see Him making progress. You can see Him getting victory in their life. And you know what you have to do when you see that kind of stuff? You just have to say, thank God. Thank God for the things that are happening in that person's life. I can see God's grace. Again, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. We looked at 2 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians. Paul the Apostle writes to the church at Thessalonica again. And in verse number 2 of chapter 1, he says, we give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in your prayers. You know why Paul was so thankful about the believers at Thessalonica? Because he could see the grace of God at work in the lives of those believers. He could observe fruit in their lives. He could see things that were happening in their lives after they got saved. They were laboring for the Lord. They got saved and they became followers of Paul and of the Lord. They received the gospel even though there was persecution happening. There was opposition against them for getting saved and they still did it. They still got saved. And Paul says, praise God. Praise God. I thank God every time I think about you guys. They received the gospel with joy. They were examples to everyone around them. They gave up their idols. They used to serve false gods and they gave them up and said, this is the one true God. They quit all of those things. They were waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. And Paul could do nothing but say, thank God for these people. God, thank you for what you've been doing in their lives. Their faith in God was spread abroad everywhere. And Paul only had one thing to say about these people. He only had one person to give credit. You know who that was? That was the Lord. He says, our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost. You know what the difference was? God accompanied the preaching. God accompanied the preaching. When they got born again, you could see the grace of God. You could see it. And that wherever the grace of God is, victory is going to follow. We read about the Apostle Paul. Who does he give credit for in his life? For his victories and for what he's done and for who he was? Who does he say? He says it was the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, he says, I'm the least of all the apostles. I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But he says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. It was by the grace of God I am who I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. It wasn't in vain because I labored and I worked. The grace of God was upon me. And He says, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. The grace of God accompanied me in the work that I did. Those victories that I got, it was the grace of God. It was His grace. The grace of God makes the difference. The grace of God saved Paul. The grace of God was effectual in Paul. And the grace of God was the source of his labor. He says, God separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His what? His grace. It was His grace. And then His grace was sufficient for him and the victory in his life. What about you here this evening? Is the grace of God prevalent in your life? Do you rely upon it? Is it what gives you the victory? Because if you and I are going to get any kind of victory, if we're going to get any kind of progress, God must be with us. His grace must be with us. We can't do it on our own. We can't do it in our own strength. It must be in the Lord. When you look back on your life and you see where you used to be, and you see the progress and the spiritual maturity that you have made in your life, what are you going to point to? You're going to say, man, thank God. Thank God that He was there. Thank God for His grace and for what He's done for me and how He's took care of me and how He's led me and how I've matured in the faith. Thank God. Grace is essential. Grace makes the difference. And one of these days when we cast our crowns at the feet of Jesus Christ, you know why we're going to be doing that? Because we're going to realize it was the grace of God. It was His grace that got us here. We're going to have no reason to poke our chest out and say, I did it. We're going to say, God did it. And we'll have a greater revelation when we get there, I'm sure. So I'd like to give you a couple of concluding thoughts in the light of the fact that God's grace makes the difference. The first thing is this: we're never going to outgrow grace. I don't care how old you get. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care if you've been saved 5 months or 50 years. You're never going to outgrow the grace of God. You're always going to need grace. Every step of the way. We never become so super spiritual that there's no more need for the grace of God. You're never going to come to an occasion in your life where you say, I got this. I don't need God. I don't need His grace. I've got it. You're never going to get to that place. And so the grace of God is essential. It's essential. It's just as elementary as the air that we breathe and the food that we eat. That's how much that we need the grace of God in everything that we do. Why? Because you still have a sin nature and I still have a sin nature. And we're still going to fall and we're still going to fail and we're still going to struggle and we're still going to fight and we're still going to need God's grace. We still need it and it's essential. Therefore, we must rely upon God at all times. Everything that we do, it's not going to be in our strength. It's not going to be in our power. It will be by the grace of God. So what do we do in light of this fact that God's grace makes the difference? How'd you start out in salvation? You started out by trusting Jesus, didn't you? You started out by faith. You started out by just believing what God said. Do you know you just need to do the same thing? Just keep on trusting Him. Every day is going to be another battle. And you just need to have faith. You just need to believe what God has said. You just need to lean on God in prayer. Keep on praying. Keep on being faithful. Keep on obeying the Word of God. Just have faith. Continue to look to Him. Don't look to yourselves. Don't look to myself. Look to God. Put your faith and trust in Him. You know why? Because grace makes the difference. Grace makes the difference. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your blessings upon us. We thank You for Your grace. Lord, I pray that You'd help us We know it's going to be a struggle. We know it's going to be hard. We do run into trouble in our lives. God, I pray that you'd help us to be strong in the grace that is found only in Jesus Christ. It's found nowhere else but just in Him. God, we thank you, Lord, for being so loving and so good and so gracious to us. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.